Today's words of wisdom will be presented in French and English with subtitles in English, Arabic, Olaxis or Vietnamese, Chinese, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian,
Japanese,
Korean, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Urdu, Thai and Turkish. Connue pour sa déclaration des droits de l'homme et du citoyen, la France est un pays qui a mis en avant les principes de liberté, d'égalité et de fraternité. Le peuple français a bon cœur et est bien connu pour accueillir les immigrants venus chercher un foyer. La nation française a eu une influence positive sur de nombreux pays à travers sa législation et son excellence dans de nombreux domaines. Par exemple, dans le domaine de l'exploration, les Français ont été à l'avant-garde de l'aérospatiale avec les frères Montgolfier et leur célèbre montgolfière qui a permis à l'homme de s'élever dans les airs. Aujourd'hui, les Français sont toujours à la pointe de la technologie, en particulier dans l'aérospatiale et les transports terrestres avec, entre autres, le train à grande vitesse, ou TGV, détenteur du record de vitesse. Nous devons aussi le cinéma à Léon Bouly et la photo couleur aux frères Lumière. Toutes ces innovations ont permis à beaucoup de Français de traverser les frontières et de partager leur esprit de solidarité dans le monde entier via des organisations célèbres comme Médecins Sans Frontières et Emmaüs International. La France est également connue pour les découvertes de Louis Pasteur en médecine, avec en particulier les vaccins. Dans le monde des arts, c'est Monet qui a bouleversé la perception de la peinture avec l'impressionnisme. Et on ne peut bien sûr pas parler de la France sans mentionner la haute couture, sa gastronomie et son savoir-vivre qui ont fait d'elle une destination touristique romantique où l'on peut découvrir une grande diversité de paysages depuis la côte atlantique à la Méditerranée en passant par le Jura et les Alpes avec le Mont Blanc qui est du haut de ses 4808 mètres le plus haut sommet d'Europe. Durant sa tournée mondiale de conférences en 1993, le maître suprême Qinghai a été invité à se rendre dans cet ancien pays à l'histoire romantique et colorée pour partager sa sagesse et sa connaissance de la vérité.
Nous vous invitons à présent à suivre la conférence suivante intitulée « Il est rare d'avoir un corps humain » donnée par le maître suprême Qinghai à Paris en France en décembre 2007.
You want some joke first or serious story first? How many serious? How many jokes? Oh, no. Poor sense of humor. All right, serious. Tuck your smile back in. Nobody allowed to smile, except the one who won joke. I told you so many stories, I wonder if I have told this story or not. This story is about a holy man who deal with his desire, yeah, and who deal with temptation. It goes like this. A holy man, one day, walking through the shop, yeah, in a shopping center, maybe supermarket, yeah, and he saw a grocery in which they sell beautiful, fresh mangoes. Wow. His mind urged him to buy some, to enjoy it. Yeah, of course, like everybody else. So the holy man was trying to tell him that, no, you don't need mangoes. Yeah, you don't have enough money to buy it to start with, and you don't need it. And you are a holy man, you just eat whatever you have, and you don't desire anything else. But would the mind listen? No? Okay. But the mind doesn't listen. Never mind. The holy man went back to his cave, continue to meditate. But all night long, all he meditated up was the fresh, luxurious mangoes. You know everything. How come? Were you that holy man reincarnate? We all know very well the trick of the mind. Yeah? Okay. So he was so tired and exhausted, sitting there fighting with his own mind. Okay? Fine, fine. So he went into the jungle next morning, still defeated and exhausted by the fighting with the mind the whole night through. And he went and chopped some wood. Yeah? And then with a lot of wood, he carried all the way from the jungle to the shopping center. Wow, it's a long way, many kilometers long. Originally, he went there just to get some necessity for the whole week, you know? Yeah, to his cave. Like some bare necessity, like maybe some flour for chapatis, yeah? And just some salt, some just simple, yeah? Yeah, that's the way I eat in I tell you, I know this very well too. I was in India, no? I didn't have enough money at that time, no? I had what I saved with me, yeah? It lasts for a while in India, but it's not forever, and I know my limit. So every day I allow myself like maybe 2 rupees. You know how much that is? Maybe 10 cents. Okay? 2 rupees is fine. You can buy flour, you can buy some salt for chapati, and you buy a cucumber and tomatoes, sometime like that. So what I do is I buy a jar of peanut butter, eh? Some flour and those very flat plate which I can use to eat and cook tea and bake chapati on it. Okay, anyway, so he carry the heavy wood load to the bazaar, which is a very long way, many kilometers. You know how holy men in India, they live up in a mountain somewhere, yeah, in a cave somewhere. And to go down to the mountain, you know, to the bazaar, take long time. They mostly live far away from it all, because that's what they want. Yeah, but then it's inconvenient when you want to have something, huh? Okay, nevertheless, he carried a heavy wood load down to the mountain. And then he's very tired and exhausted. But he doesn't give himself rest. He keeps telling himself, you want the mangoes, you work for it. Now you carry the wood and you don't complain. And it was, you know, the mountain road, you know, very difficult, but he make himself do it. Okay, there you are. He came down to the mountain at last. He sold the wood, exchanged it for money, and bought some mangoes. And then he went back to his cave, huh? In the forest. And he put it on the stone in front of his cave and he said, okay, you just look at it, okay? Because I know you very well. He talked to himself. He said, his mind, he said, today, you want me to buy you mangoes. Tomorrow, you will want something else, yeah? A melon. And the next day, who knows, you might want to buy a house. And then you will want me to have a wife to take care of the house. And then that's it, finish of my story, end of my life. I know what you want. That's what you want, hey? I'm showing you. That's not going to happen. Okay. Becomes a wife and then, becomes the wife and then the children, yeah? Yeah, and then the birthday, and then the death day, and then the marriage of the children, and then the grandchildren, and the marriage of the grandchildren, and forever. Never done. Never done. I will be then your slave. Yeah, for at the end of all this. So he just telling that. And then when he was talking to his mind like that, person passing by, yeah, his cave. So he called him, hey, buddy. Take the mangoes. It's yours. So, of course, the traveler was, you know, hot and thirsty. Oh, immediately, really? Are you sure, sir? Oh, yes. Oh, I'd be happy to take them all. He took them all. Yeah, even eating some of them in front of the holy man. Wow, poor holy man. Must be mouth-watering. Ah, oh, poor guy. He worked so hard. He should have deserved it. You know, at least he go and cut wood, no? But he doesn't want to do it again, huh? Suppose next day he want apple, huh? Then he have to go cut wood again, huh? And then just by the habit of following the desire of the mind, who knows where it leads him, Yeah? Remember the story of the yogi who had just a cloth to cover his milk place? Yeah? Okay, so I'm not telling. Good, thank you. Thank you that you remember. So there was a journalist who brought in some humorous story for the editor-in-chief, you know, of the journal. And the editor-in-chief was reading it for a while and then just don't say anything. So the journalist asked him, well, why didn't you laugh? It's a very funny story. He said, I laughed last year, no? Same story. So it's very difficult to control our mind, huh? Yeah. I don't care. If he wants a mango, I give him a mango. Because I also work for it already. Yeah? Maybe that's why I work so hard. Since I could afford a mango, I just have a mango. Otherwise, I could be saintly. Yeah? I could go in the cave, sit there and meditate all by myself. Yeah? And eating chapatis every day. And now and again, you know, with some five samosas. You know what samosas is? No, this Indian snack is beautiful. It's like a meal itself, you know. They put all kind of mixed vegetable inside, yeah? Namely peas, yeah, chopped carrot, and potatoes, yes, and spice in it. No, maybe chapatis or masala, something like that, inside, yeah. And then outside, they already fried that. Maybe they fried already or not? Huh? Also, they put inside raw? Ah, okay.
The stuff inside,
I think they fry a little bit first, no? Otherwise, it takes too long to cook the potatoes inside. I guess they did fry the potato, whatever, you know, peas, you know, sweet peas and chopped carrot fried together, spice them already. Okay, and then they put it in a butter, flat cake, like chapatis, I guess, you know, and they fold it into a triangle kind of shape. Oh, who cares what shape, you know. And then they fry them, you know. Deep fry quick. And that's how you eat it. And it tastes like heaven at that time, no? Oh, it is lovely. I could not resist. It tastes so good. And just exactly that one tastes good. Not every tastes like that. They just make it smaller than usual, you know. It makes it more trouble. Because you eat one, you want another one. Okay, there's another story. There's another story about the prophet and the devotees. Okay. One time, when Prophet Muhammad was talking with a group of disciples, he asked every of them in turn what they possessed. Yeah, possessed. What is their possession? What do they have? Yeah. So, one of the disciples by name Hazrat Umar replied to the Prophet, Oh, Prophet, I have a wife and many children, camels and so on and so forth. It took him a long time to list all of his possessions. Yeah, maybe camels and then coconut tree and palm trees and date trees and, you know, what else, you know, house, hotel, room for rent, whatever, yeah. Take a long time, okay. All of the others made similar replies until the turn of one disciple by name Hazrat Ali. He said to his master, Oh master, oh sir, he spoke out, he declared his love for the Prophet. He said, My only possessions are God and you. Except for these two, I have nothing worth of mentioning. So the Prophet Muhammad was explaining his teachings through the answers of this disciple. He was well pleased, I guess, yeah? Saying that worldly possessions count for very little. We have them for a short time only. They do not go with us to the world beyond. Attachment to them leads only to pain and suffering as we are born again and again to satisfy ourselves because of the desire for this, which has not been fulfilled during our lifetime. Yeah, because we have more, then we're more attached to them. And they give us comfort and, I say, pleasure and stuff. And when we die, we wish we have not enjoyed all of them yet, you know. And then maybe at that splitting moment, our soul left the body with the desire that we haven't enjoyed all our possession. And then that's how we come back to life. I mean physical life, again and again, transmigrate and suffer, yeah? So that's why the prophet say that possession only leads to suffering and transmigration. This is the lot of those who love the ways of the world. But those who love God and are always engaged in the contemplation of their beloved transcend this region of births and deaths. Well, the one who wrote this thinking it's just a matter of understanding this simple truth. Is that simple? Yeah? Yes. Simple, but not simple to carry it out, huh? Yes. I was addicted to samosas at that time. Well, but you have to know, I had very little money at that time. And mostly I eat just chapatis and sometimes some cucumber. Yeah, chapati and peanut butter. Yeah, just to keep the body still alive. So, of course, you know, when I pass by the samosa, wow. That is something out of that world. Yeah. So most of the sage, they also prefer to live in the in a mountain and remote area because of that too, no? Perhaps, yeah? What you don't see doesn't hurt you, right? Doesn't tempt you. It's truly like that. You know, like in my place, if I stay away from the kitchen, I don't even think of eating. You know, I just stay in my place and do what I do and don't even feel hungry or nothing. But because of the dogs and the boy, I have to keep going into the house. And when I pass through the kitchen, I saw many things there. Okay, I start eating. It's like that. Sometimes I not even feel hungry. But if I don't eat then later on I would think of them as well, so I might as well just eat it while I'm not even hungry so that I don't eat too much even, you know? Yes. In Chinese feng shui, they also advise you not to build a kitchen in the middle of the house. How do they know? How could they guess? Yeah, because they said that in the feng shui, the art of building good house and auspicious house. They say if you build a kitchen in the middle of the house, then everyone in the house will be too attached to food. All the activities with surrounding the cooking and food and stuff like that. So they even advise you to build a kitchen outside. So when you want to go to eat an extra, you have to think twice. Do I want to venture into the cold, into the wild outside of the garden and cook something or not? I'm thinking of moving my kitchen outside into some remote area of the garden, you know, where it's freezing day and night in winter. And then we think how much weight we can lose. My dogs also get fat. No, yeah, one or two of them. They're really putting weight on. You know, happy. You know, when she lay down, her fat just flow alongside. They flap on one area, you know. And when she wake her body, you can see flop, 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 you know, running back and forth. When she first comes, she doesn't have chin, and now she has three chins. Okay, any question? From your land or from your center?
Yeah, Master, I have a question about animals. You've been teaching us some things about animals that are just amazing, but the question is that some of the animals are more noble than we are. Some of them have higher consciousness.
Yes.
And yet you also say that being human is the peak of creation as well.
Yes.
So how is it that will they become human? Or can the animals attain enlightenment and go beyond the physical?
It depends on animals, yeah. I wouldn't say like the tiger will go straight to heaven. Yeah, but most of the animals, actually some tigers and lions are very noble as well. You'll be surprised. It depends, you know. Any race of animals, even in the ferocious animal, there are some saintly being born into it, yeah. Many times, like sometimes you see on television, there was a girl in Africa. They were molested by seven men even. Mm-hmm. And then the lion came and shooed them all away and guarded the girl until her family came. And then left, yeah? And some lion even, I'll say, rescue some other babies and all that stuff, yeah? And many, many stories about that, yes. Okay, some animals that came straight from heaven, do you understand me? To come down to help human, yeah? In that case, they will go back straight to where they came from. Only elevated, one step higher than when they were before. Higher heaven or higher level of consciousness as a reward from heaven. Human is higher in a way that we have many choices. See, we can choose to be noble, yeah? We can rescue any other human when we want to. We can help our neighbors. We can share our possession and our labors, our love, anything we want. We can be heroes, yeah? We can choose to be vegetarian or non-vegetarian. We can choose to be a saint. We can choose to meditate on God and elevate ourselves anytime. We have that privilege. Yeah? Animals, they have very few choice. Because of the nature of their species, yeah? For example, okay, the dogs, yeah? Sometimes they come here, they could rescue other people or do something else, but they're with you, and they're limited to what you want them to do. They don't have much choice. See what I mean? To be reincarnated into animal kingdom is easier. To be reincarnated in the human world is hard. Okay? You need, told you before, human quality, yeah? You have to have enough human quality. You have to have affinity with the parents. Yeah, and with the society, with the people around which you were born. And very difficult. So the Buddha say that there's a blind turtle, you know. Only once every 100,000 years he came up to the surface of the sea. And at that time there flow a piece of wood, you know, toward that place. And there's a hole in it. And the blind turtle happened to just put his head through that hole. And that's how rare it is. To have a human body. And human have lot and lot of choices. You see what I mean? And it's a pity if we don't choose well. Animals, they are limited. For example, if a bird, yeah, want to come down and help human, it's difficult for them. As soon as they come down to the human world, they can be eaten. Or they've been captured and then put in cage or sold on there or die meanwhile, something like that, during the process. So human are very privileged, yes. Because of what you have done in the past, perhaps you've done something good, yeah, that you are married, that you can choose a human body, okay? To be a human, you need some merit. You have done something good in the past in order to be able, yeah, to be able to pick a human birth. Yeah, some human, although maybe they're saintly, nobly, but maybe they haven't done those human merit, so they don't have enough choice. They have to be born as animals. Whatever they want to do, they have to do it with that body. You see what I mean? Which is more difficult. Human, we have brain, we have hand, we can do all kind of tools, we can, you know, invent a lot of things and make our life comfortable and help everybody else or animals, but most of the time we don't choose it. Yes. The human, before they came down to this world, they all promised that, okay, I will walk the way of God. I will walk the way of love. I will correct my mistake in the past life. I won't do it again. I definitely will not. I will do the opposite. I will do good. I will be generous. I will be kind. I will be compassionate. I will do this. I will be a hero of humans and animals. I will lay down my life for the needy, for the weak and the small, yeah, for the animals even. But when they come down here, forgot. And the force of the previous bad karma come pounding upon them also, together with the fixed karma of this lifetime. The fixed karma of this lifetime is the one that they are born with. They have to pick up some bad karma to be born with, yeah? And that's the price they have to pay to be a human. They have to struggle to be good. It's not easy for them that they're born and then everything there, you know. They have enough wealth, they have enough strength, and they have, you know, just unchangeable compassion, you know. And then they will always do good. You understand what I mean? And they will always part with their money easily. It's not like that. They have to pay the price that is struggling with the obstacles that they are born with the karma, that they are born with what they did in their last life, they come back onto them. And they have to struggle against that, to do the opposite. Many fail miserably. And then have to come back again, promise again, but this time we double. You see what I mean? The bad karma of the past life and the life now will come back on them on the next future life. Be harder and harder all the time. So you see how poor the human is, yeah? And if they don't have any guide to show them, to remind them, to support them mentally and physically and spiritually, and the congregation of saintly people will have the same goal, same mind, then they fail miserably. Many people fail. You see? Give in to the force of bad karma of the mind. It's very difficult.
Thank you, Master.
Oh, sorry. Is that clear enough, love?
Yeah, that's beautiful. So we should really look at animals as our benefactors who've come here to help us.
They do help, yeah, a lot.
Yeah, even though we've got the tough job.
Yes.
But we should look at them quite different to what we do now.
Okay, so you want to look up at them now?
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, many animals, they help invisibly, you see, but their help is limited. You see, for example, I have a neighbor who has a horse, okay? He is quietly ward off negative influence, ward off negative people. But nobody knows that. And he's limited to where he is. The neighbor has him, but he has the sty for him, and then a fence, yeah, you know, he will only run up and down in that square meters, you know. And he eat the grass in there, and sometimes don't have anything. And they eat, you know, maybe in the morning they feed them, and then let them out all day. Nothing to eat until 5, 6 o'clock at night. And then inside, probably eat then, and then go to sleep. You see what I mean? Yeah, something like that. And even though he wanted to help humankind, but he's limited to helping maybe only me as his neighbor and his own family, who's a caretakers.
Does the horse have any awareness of his job?
Oh, sometimes yes, sometimes no. He just do it like the sun shine on you. Okay?
Thank you.
The sun will not proclaim anything, will not think anything. Like you're breathing. Yeah? You don't aware, but you do it. That's just an example for you, huh? And for example, the swan, yeah? He's helping me to tell me some other stuff, yeah? Something about who's bad and all that for me, or who I should not have, but I have them in any way, bad or not bad. Because, well, that's the way I do. But I do appreciate, she told me, yeah? For example, like that.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup d'avoir été avec nous aujourd'hui dans Paroles de Sagesse.
Restez connectés pour Technologie de l'âge d'or dans quelques instants sur Supreme Master Television. Nous vous souhaitons joie, paix et harmonie dans votre vie de tous les jours, remplie de l'amour inconditionnel de Dieu.
We thank you for your wonderful company on today's Words of Wisdom.
Please stay tuned for Golden Age Technology coming up next on Supreme Master Television. We wish you joy, peace, and harmony in your everyday life filled with God's unconditional love.